Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
What's up, T?
What is going on, Taj? We, of course, are live right now on Facebook and YouTube, but you may be listening to us via the podcast. Yes, each and every one of our episodes are uploaded into the podcast cloud. I don't know the correct terminology, but it's a place where you could download all of our episodes and listen to it on your own time. So I want to make sure everyone is aware of that. Go to any of your favorite podcast platforms and check us out there. Just type in Dede Jackson Foundation or the Power of Love Show and you will find us. But we, of course, are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. So what we like to do here on the Power of Love Show is share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. So please don't just rely on us. Yes, that was our disclaimer. Very important to do. But yes, today's date is Wednesday, March 15th, and we have an amazing guest with a very powerful story coming on our show today. So, I should say, but before we get to our guest, I got to check in with my brother to make sure all is well in his world and see what he is up to. Taj Jackson, how was your week or what is going on in your world?
I'm extremely tired.
You look tired.
Last night, because it rained, you know, and my daughter is just, they're, I think, afraid of the rain or the sound of the rain and the wind and all that stuff. So it was almost a sleepless night. I think I got an hour or two in there. But
I'm not laughing at you, Taj.
I know you're laughing because you've gone through it. I know. I understand.
That is it. I can't help it because it's like I've been through this so many times that for you to now go through it, it's kind of funny is the wrong word, but it's kind of sweet.
Yeah. So I mean, sleep is kind of important in certain ways, just in terms of your mindset. So it's been a challenge. Let's just say that.
Well, Taj, I commend you for your professionalism for being here. Although you seem like you're just sapping all the energy away, I still commend you for being here.
Thank you for the backhanded compliment.
As for me, nothing much has been going on. I've been dealing with this rain, as you just said. So the kids and their sports and their programs has been all over the place. Of course, having some rain issues all of a sudden at the house, but nothing major. Feel very blessed in the grand scheme of things. I feel very blessed, you know, and I'm reading a great book, by the way, Taj, called The Price of Privilege. I've been sharing that book everywhere. It's written by Madeline Levine, and it talks about how the importance of raising your kids and having them value relationships more than things. So there's a little book suggestion if anyone, I know no one asked about it, but I guess I'll take my time to express that I like that book and think it's a great book.
That sounds like a cool book.
Yeah.
As I was reading the comments, thank you. Comment section, daylight savings. That's also going to help because we kind of lost an hour.
We did lose an hour. And Taj, what states do not go with?
I know there is some, but I have no
idea. Is it just Arizona?
I don't know. Maybe the comment section will tell us.
Okay, I think it's just Arizona. But anyways, Taj, I think that is pretty much it. I think if you are ready, I'm very eager to have our guest
on. Someone says Hawaii. Carol says Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe Hawaii. All right. Well, Arizona and Hawaii. Those are the two, I guess, as of now. But okay. So, Taj, I'm eager to have our guest on. As I said, her story is very powerful, very unique. And when I heard about it and learned about it, she actually refers to the phrase of turning pain into purpose. And I felt that was a strong title for this show, because that is exactly what she is doing. And I commend her, you know, as something from our own experience, with doing this whole foundation in our mom's honor. It's the same similar thing as where, I think one of the things that at least have helped me, and I think you can attest to this, helped us get through the loss of a mother is being able to try to do something positive with it. So that is what our guest is doing. Let me properly read the bio or the intro for her. On today's episode of the Power of Love Show, we welcome special guest Fabi Powell. Fabi Powell lost her Army Ranger husband, Josh, to synovial sarcoma cancer at 29 years old. She started the Josh Powell Foundation in his honor to help encourage newly diagnosed patients and fulfill the wishes of those running out of time. At 33, she started her IVF journey to have her late husband's baby. 2 years later, still no baby. But by the grace of God and an incredible team of doctors, she's still fighting for their dream. She shares her story to give others hope, reminding them that joy does coexist alongside unimaginable pain and that it can and will exist for them too. She believes there is still beauty to be found in life after earth-shattering loss, that there is extraordinary love on the other side of debilitating fear, and that impossible dreams can become reality with enough faith and resilience. Fabi believes life is hard, but it's too short to let the hard outweigh the beauty. And when we learn that, we must pass it on. Here today to share a bit about her personal story without much further ado. I always throw that much in, Fabi, or anyone else who's new to this. Don't know why. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one and only Fabi Powell to the Power of Love Show. How are you, Fabi?
I'm good. Thank you so much, you guys, for having me. That was a fantastic intro.
Well, thank you. I usually butcher a couple of words or mispronounce anything. Did I not do that in this case? Did I say everything
incorrect? No, you nailed it.
Okay. Now, I will say this. First and foremost, I have never heard of the type of cancer that Josh had. Can you say it one more time? Because it's not a I don't want to say popular, but it's not a common type, is it?
It's interesting because, you know, until Josh was diagnosed with synovial sarcoma, I had not heard of it myself, but there are over 100 different subtypes of sarcoma cancer. So sarcoma cancer as a whole is fairly common. And of course, once you're impacted by it, you tend to hear it all the time. So you may have heard of like Ewing sarcoma or osteosarcoma, which are more common forms of sarcoma cancer, but synovial sarcoma, the cancer that Josh was diagnosed with is a soft tissue sarcoma that was located in his lower abdomen.
Okay. Okay. I thank you for that explanation. Cause like I said, I had not heard of it prior to your story and Josh. So, now I'm going to go back a bit. And we understand the road was not always easy for you and Josh. But before we talk about that, I would love to know how your love story unfolded and, you know, tell us how you met and just a little bit of the background.
Sure. So Josh and I actually met at a bar downtown Nashville, you know, the place where you always expect to meet your husband. I was visiting from Southern California, where I was born and raised and spent the first 27 years of my life. I always loved country music, and my best friend from college did too. And we've always wanted to go to Nashville. So we packed up, did a girls' trip, and just ended up meeting Josh on my last day on that trip. Never thought that we would ever see each other again, let alone get married. But, you know, the good Lord had other plans for us. And that day led to us having this long distance love story. which very quickly turned into Josh being diagnosed with synovial sarcoma just 2 months into our love story, which, if you can imagine, kind of threw a little wrench into our fairy tale and, you know, just put life into perspective really quickly for us. Josh was 2 years younger than me, so he was 25 at the time of his diagnosis, and I was 27, and we were both at a peak place in our lives. You know, he just got stationed at Fort Campbell. He had just graduated from West Point, where he played football for Army, and just finished Ranger school and was at the top of the world, you know, and had all of the amazing things to look forward to starting this career in the military. And for me, same thing. I was so excited to have this new love in my life and had a really great career back in California. And then cancer, you know, it doesn't discriminate. It just shows up when it wants to and takes the best of them. So that was the first obstacle that Josh and I faced, which was a really big one.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Fabi, did you have any experience or know anybody who had been suffering with cancer prior to Josh?
It's a great question. I look back at my life and I see how God strategically placed certain experiences in my path to help prepare me for what came next. I had a 3-year relationship before I met Josh, and his mom, who I was very close with, got diagnosed with breast cancer right when I was kind of phasing out of the relationship. And I had, you know, a front seat to her diagnosis and battle. She was actually the first person I called after I found out that Josh had cancer. And so I had this, you know, front row seat to what a diagnosis with cancer looked like, which in hindsight somewhat prepared me for Josh's diagnosis. And I knew that God gave me this caregiver's heart, and his diagnosis, instead of scaring me away, just made me want to be closer because I knew that I could love him through it.
And then there was a moment where his cancer was in remission. Is that correct? Yes. And things were looking on the brighter end, and you both were engaged and you're approaching a wedding, which can you explain that bit of the story? Because to me, that's so powerful, and it just talks. And I love, I'll chime in because there's something that Josh did that I love. But yes, if you could share that bit of the story.
Yeah. So of course, any battle with cancer has so many ups and downs. Josh and I liked to focus on the joy in between the mess. And so Josh ended up proposing back at home in California. We were in Laguna Beach, our favorite spot to go to. It's funny, after I decided to move to Nashville for Josh, he then proceeds to tell me, we should move to California. I just love it there so much. I'm like, excuse me, I just moved my whole life to Tennessee for you. We are not moving to California. But ironically enough, we were actually back at home for a wedding of his buddy who he went to West Point with, but happened to grow up just right down the street from me. And our dads like knew each other in the cycling world, which again, just shows how small our world is. So I'm going home, going to this wedding for his friend, not knowing that I'm getting proposed to until Josh decided to wear fitted jeans to the brunch that we were going to with the ring in his pocket, but that's a different story. So, you know, Josh got down on one knee and asked me to spend forever with him in my hometown. And he was in remission at the time. He had a major surgery at MD Anderson that January. This was May. There was a lot of recovery that needed to happen between that surgery. And then he had a 13-hour hemipelvectomy is what it's called. And they were able to save his leg, but they took muscle flaps from both thighs, removed his lower abdomen completely and part of his bladder, part of his pelvis. It was a very, very invasive surgery. So if you can imagine, getting out of that hospital was all Josh wanted to do was like, get me the hell out of here. So brought him home and nursed him back to health. And in the meantime, he's planning this proposal, which I have no idea about. And, you know, from there we had this follow-up appointment at MD Anderson, and we're thinking like, we're finally going to be able to experience this beautiful life on the other side of cancer, on the other side of all of this pain and just uncertainty, right? And that's when we found out that his cancer had metastasized to his lungs, which is never what you want to hear, especially for anybody who knows sarcoma cancer. It's a really nasty disease, one of the worst. And once it metastasizes, it's pretty rough to reel in from there. So we had some treatment options still available. And with that, there's hope. So us being the silver lining people that we are, we're like, okay, we still have this, you know, there's still hope on the table. Like, let's keep fighting. And he had two chemo options that we tried that started in June. By the end of August is when we found out that neither of those options were working, which inevitably meant that the cancer was taking full control of his body. And his oncologist at that point had to have a really hard conversation with us.
And then you guys decided, after the engagement and after knowing or learning about this difficult news, you guys decided to expedite, I should say, the wedding, or move it up 6 months. Whose idea was that? And the second part of my question will be, how did you navigate the simultaneous feelings of joy of a wedding versus the grief and sorrow of you know, no, dealing with this really difficult reality?
No, it's a great question. So I forever, to the end of my days, will just praise Josh's oncologist, Dr. Arujo. We're dear friends still to this day. And she gave us the gift to spend the remainder of Josh's time here on earth with me and his loved ones, the ability to live out those days the way that we wanted to, by having the really, really hard conversation with a 27-year-old Army Ranger and his soon-to-be wife that he's not going to make it to our wedding. So many times I hear that these conversations are not happening. That's the reason why I touch on it, because it's so important to have those hard conversations to give these people the ability to make the choices and have the conversations that they want to have before they're gone, instead of having it be this like, oh, by the way, you know, you're dying when you have this very limited time. I mean, once your cancer metastasizes to time of death, with sarcoma cancer specifically, is a very short window of time. And I've seen through my nonprofit that I've started in honor of Josh, people who have not been informed of the seriousness of their illness, and to have it be a shock to their loved ones that they are dying actively. And these important conversations and plans can't be fulfilled or had. Mm. So to answer that first question, it was actually her idea to plant that seed and tell us like, hey, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I would also hate for you guys to not experience this beautiful wedding that you both want so badly. So Josh won't be here in May, more than likely. You guys need to move your wedding date up. And it was as simple as that. And for me, that was the first time that I ever fell apart in one of our appointments because of the finality of this cancer diagnosis and knowing that death was inevitable. Like, this was coming, and it was coming fairly quickly. So we left that appointment, and my thought was like, okay, what do we do about the wedding? Because that was topic of conversation. And Josh had different thoughts that I'm so grateful he shared with me that day. And his thoughts were, what about our babies? Which was a take your breath away moment for me, because up until that point, Josh and I never discussed him dying or him not being here one day. And so to me, I know how intentional that conversation was for him to lay that on the table. Like, I still want you to be the mother to our children. Should I not be here? And it was really the one and only time that we talked about him potentially not being here. And that was his choice of topic. And then, of course, after that was, you would be the most incredible mom. And how cool would it be to have a little piece of me still be able to live on forever, even though I may not be here anymore? And that was the greatest gift that he could have ever left me.
That's beautiful. So, and now I guess this is a good time to pivot to your IVF journey. So you and Josh decide to pursue expanding your family via IVF, despite his prognosis. Were those conversations difficult, both with both of you knowing he wouldn't be present to experience the journey with you? And how was navigating, or I should say, how has navigating this fertility journey affected you to in the past as well as today?
Yeah. IVF is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life besides navigate life without Josh.
Can I ask real quick, when you say that, I mean, because I know a bit about IVF, but obviously I don't know about IVF.
Sure.
So what does someone like me who just knows the term, knows what it is, what is it that we really don't know about IVF?
Yeah, I think the most common misconception is that if you do IVF, you get a baby. And that is probably the most simple thing to understand as to why it's so difficult. Because not only is it extremely financially taxing here in the US to go through infertility treatment, I'm talking like one round of IVF. For me, for my first round, just to do the egg retrieval and create the embryos, was $26,000.
Wow.
That's not including thousands of dollars worth of medication. That's not including travel if your clinic is out of state. That's not including genetic testing, which is an additional $5,000 or $6,000 if you're in a situation like me trying to avoid a specific cancer mutation that you know runs in your family. So, I mean, the number of families who are faced with having to choose the IVF road and not even being able to start it because of the financial burden. And then, not to mention, I've done at this point 5 egg retrievals and countless losses and pain and having to relive losing Josh all over again every single time I have a loss along this journey. And that has nothing to do with the physical toll that it takes on your body having to give yourself injections every day. I mean, for me, I'm doing this solo, right? So all of them are given to myself. I'm doing it all on my own. Wow. So that just gives you a little snapshot into, you know, what a journey through IVF looks like. And that's like the smallest little snapshot. But then to think after all of that, there's still a possibility that you never end up with a baby.
And Josh said something, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but he said for him, it was important for a piece of him to be continued on. Right. And for life to be continued. That is probably something that helps push you to make sure and to give your absolute best to make this happen. I just wanted to share that tidbit for people to know, because I think it's important. You know, this isn't just something you want. It's something you both wanted. And it's a goal and dream of both yours. So you and you share your entire journey publicly with your social media community, and your website states that you do so in hopes that they will take away the valuable lessons and perspective that you've gained after experiencing extraordinary love, unimaginable loss, and navigating life after without having to personally experience the unimaginable pain that got you here. What has the response of your online community been? Has this cultivated community helped you feel supported? And has their support aided your grief in any way? If so, how?
Absolutely. This community has carried me in so many hopeless situations. I made the really hard decision to share my IVF journey publicly. That was a conversation between my mother-in-law, who I lost in 2020 to cancer as well, and my brother-in-law, who is Josh's younger brother. We're all very, very close. And I wanted to make sure that they were okay with me opening up this piece of my life to the world to see. And they were 100% on board. And if it weren't for that community, this village that we've cultivated through my social media platforms, I would never have been able to go through 5 rounds of IVF. Mm. So as you guys know, creating community is the most valuable thing you can do for people who are facing adversity. Mm-hmm. We feel so alone in our journeys. You know, being a young widow, it's like even connecting just with another widow, you still feel alone. Mm-hmm. But here I am surrounded by people who are going through like what seems to be trivial things. You know, I'm 29 years old at the time, and my friends are like upset about a boyfriend that pissed them off, you know, and I'm like, I literally just lost the love of my life, watched him die an excruciatingly painful death to cancer. Like, I feel like nobody can relate to what I'm experiencing. And surely there are so many people out there feeling this same thing. So by sharing, if I can help someone else, at least there's purpose in me feeling like this, you know. At least God has to have like some greater plan as to why I have to feel this pain on a day to day and figure out how to navigate life and find joy on the other side of all of this. And man, am I grateful for sharing, because I have all of these people who constantly reach out and feel heard and seen and feel like they're not alone. And in turn, I feel the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like this beautiful ripple effect. And it's really the same concept from what I understand with your nonprofit and your why. And then same thing with the Josh Powell Foundation. It's all like every single one of us are going to experience loss in our lives. It's literally the one thing that we can for sure say that we're all going to have in common at some point. And yet we still don't know how to make it be just a normal part of conversation and make it this less taboo topic. And it's conversations like this that are moving the needle in a direction where we don't have to keep burying this pain. We can talk about it and keep our people alive and, you know, create legacy through all of this and find purpose within all this pain that we experience and know that God's plan isn't to hurt us. It's to help us grow and help us morph into who he wanted us to be, to fulfill whatever that thing is he has for us to leave behind.
I think Taj has a question. But real quick, I want to read this. There's been so many comments of support for you, Fabi, and I want to read this one out. Denise says, "Sweet Fabi, I think a lot of us have cried with you, but we have also laughed. The dogs, the armadillo, Fabi, you have been on and still are on a massive journey, but through it all, you shine like a star." That was from Denise, and I love the fact that you did this. And Denise also says, "Fabi shares videos of Josh on her page. His sense of humor shines through." I assume that's your Instagram page. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So everyone listening or watching, you can follow Fabi on Instagram at Fabi Powell. That's F-A-B-I-P-O-W-E-L-L. and follow her along this journey. And I never met Josh, but seeing and knowing what I do, he seems like an amazing person. And I love the fact that some are getting that sense of humor he had through you. So I think that's amazing. And I just wanted to touch on all that. But go ahead, Taj. I didn't mean to cut you off, man.
No, I think it's incredible what you're doing in that way. I just had a quick question. It kind of goes further back.
Sure.
But in terms of when you and Josh were going through all of this, what was, because I know you have to be equally strong in for him, but also for yourself. Did you have some kind of support system or anything like that? I know you said, because sometimes your friends can't identify
sure.
with what you're going through in that way. So
yeah.
What did you lean on was it kind of like your own journey that you had to do on your own in that way?
I was really lucky. Josh's mom and I were only 20 years apart. And it's funny because everyone, all his friends made fun of him. Like, dude, your girlfriend looks just like your mom. And she and I were just two peas in a pod. So losing her was a whole nother journey. But she was my rock, without a doubt. She was just the most incredible mother. And she was the one person on the planet that could remotely understand what I was experiencing. And for her on a whole nother level with it being her oldest child. Mm. So she was my person through it all. I mean, we went through it all together. We all lived in Nashville together. We spent so many of our days, especially the hardest ones, leaning on each other.
Okay.
And so she was my rock through that. And then post Josh, you know, earning his wings, we went through the normal like family crisis where everyone goes a little crazy after somebody dies. And I leaned on our hospice center that Josh passed away at was really incredible. And they had a grief counseling package that you could have like 35 free sessions, even if your loved one didn't pass at their center. Just if you lost somebody in Nashville, you could go there and receive free grief counseling. That saved me immediately after, because to your point, and none of my people could relate. They were always there. You know, they would show up with food and love and support. And what do you need from me? I think what's so hard is you don't know what the heck you need. You have no idea what to even tell someone. So people are like, what do I do? My best friend just lost her husband, or my friend just lost their dad. I'm like, listen, you're never going to know what to say. But just show up, you know, just tell them, I have no idea how to show up for you, but I'm here. Like, I'll sit with you in silence. Like, I don't know what to do. Just that alone is like, okay, I have people, even though I feel like I have nobody and I just lost my whole world. I have someone here, and I woke up today and I'm breathing and I have food, and you know, it's such a one day at a time thing. But grief counseling was a very important piece of me feeling validated in my loss and kind of learning how to slowly navigate the next steps.
Was there someone who encouraged you to do that? Cause that's another thing. I mean, those kind of resources are there. But a lot of times, but people don't want to use them or don't think they use them or don't know how impactful that resource could be. So was there someone who pushed you or nudged you, I should say, to take advantage of that kind of a resource?
It's a really good question. I'm actually the weirdo who's like the type A, which isn't always a good thing. That was like, how can I grieve the best way possible? Like, what can I sign up for that's going to like take this pain away? And the best thing that my grief counselor told me on day one was, nothing that you do is going to take away this pain. It will follow you through the rest of your life. Mm. It will change and evolve, and you will still experience joy and all these things. But if your goal is to find a solution to not feel what you're feeling right now, you're not going to find it. So for me, I was lucky that I had the motivation to go myself. you know, and I was kind of desperate. My family didn't live in Tennessee, and, you know, family was a little chaotic, you know, after the loss of Josh. So it was like my lifeline. It was like the one thing that I knew I could go to once a week, that I could be proactive about not losing myself in this loss. And truth be told, it's been 6 years since Josh passed away. And the last 4 months is probably the most impactful work that I've done. And it has nothing to do with therapy. I have a life coach that has allowed me the opportunity to find love and appreciation for all of the pain that I've experienced. And that has set me free.
Mm, that's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
That's very powerful, because
we all have a different thing, you know?
Yeah. I think we do. And I'm happy you're that type A, that found that resource, because I definitely feel it makes a difference. And, you know, sometimes I feel there's a lot of people out there that don't know what to do. And so they'd rather just not do anything and just rather just, you know, grieve alone. And to me, that's very dangerous and difficult. So hearing someone like you articulate what helped you, because I can assume you still struggle tremendously, but you're still there, you're functioning, and you're living the best life you can and doing the absolute best you can. And to me, that's commendable. So,
and inspiring others too. Yeah,
very much. So, okay. So after losing Josh, you launch, the Josh Power Foundation in his honor. What is the mission of the Josh Power Foundation, and how can our community support or donate?
Yes. So our mission is inspiring the world one battle at a time, which is very broad intentionally. So Josh's goal, you know, he wrote in his journal all the time, and he had it written in his journal that he hoped that people would say, because of Josh Powell, I didn't give up. And that was so powerful to read after losing him. And I knew that I needed to create this legacy because of what got him through his battle with cancer. I'm like, how do I bundle this up and gift it to other people? And kind of like going back to the therapy and being proactive about that, everybody has their own way of survival, right? Like sometimes we just fall into this victim mentality and let life happen to us. And sometimes we're like trying to grab a hold of anything that can prevent us from feeling, so we avoid it, which was creating JPF for me, which I'm coming to find out full circle. But the mission is gifting this strong mind, strong outcome mentality, which is what got Josh through his battle without being a victim to this cancer, and not giving power to the thing that was internally killing him. But his mindset is what allowed him to continue to experience joy and life and continue to have goals and dreams and aspirations. So he chose not to give power to the cancer. So we have care packages that we gift newly diagnosed sarcoma cancer patients that go through MD Anderson and Full Circle Moment. My best friend, who is also a widow to sarcoma cancer, we met through my nonprofit. Her late husband received one of our care packages in his chemo class at MD Anderson. And again, creating this community, you never know who's going to touch your life or who is going to go through life with you because of this thing that you create. But more importantly, the work that we do on top of these care packages is we fulfill wishes and bucket list items for terminal patients. And that was a really important piece because Josh and I were big on living. And we had a bucket list to visit all the Major League Baseball stadiums. We completed 9 when we were together. And again, your Sound sweatshirt, we had season tickets to the Nashville Sounds. I love that. I feel like Josh is here with us just as soon as I saw that sweatshirt. And I ended up completing all 30 stadiums after he died. And it was really my lifeline. It's what I threw myself into to keep living after he passed away. And so I found value in gifting experiences like this to families who are experiencing these devastating terminal situations. Not only is it amazing for the patient to be able to experience a lifelong dream, but the memories that their family will be able to cherish and hold on to long after they're gone. That's very important for me. It's actually pretty amazing to tie it all together. If anybody feels called to donate to the Josh Powell Foundation, we have a patient, his mom reached out to me 2 days ago. And she said, Logan would like to become a firefighter. He is a sarcoma survivor. So one of the really blessed ones who is living life on the other side of sarcoma cancer. Craziest piece of this is Logan received a care package years ago when he first started facing his battle with sarcoma. His family ended up moving to Tampa, which is where Josh went to high school and was the quarterback for the football team at Wharton. Logan is a senior at Wharton on the football team.
Wow.
And I was leaving my girlfriend's house, who is the mom of a sarcoma survivor, had his leg amputated at 2 years old, is now just got accepted into the Fire Academy. I mean, if you think God isn't working through all of us in all beautiful and painful pieces of our lives, like, let that be a testament to the bigger picture of all of this. So all that to say, we are raising $6,500 to send Logan to the Fire Academy to fulfill his dream, which in turn will allow him to continue to inspire others through his battle and his victory on the other side of his sarcoma diagnosis. So just a little sneak peek into what we do, but that's the current mission right now, is let's make Logan a firefighter.
I love it. So Fabi, how is there a website or somewhere directly where we could share that for people who are listening who do want to donate, where they could donate?
Absolutely. So joshpowellfoundation.org. There's always a donation link there. I'm going to create a specific campaign for Logan. So if you follow me on social media at Fabi Powell on Instagram is where I am probably the most active, there will be a whole campaign for Logan that will be pushed out over the next couple of months. He would start in September, so we have a couple months to reach this goal. But joshpowellfoundation.org, you can donate directly there, or just give me a follow on Instagram and you'll see more about Logan and his story, and he'll share that firsthand for you guys to see, and you'll be able to meet him.
Great. So for those watching this broadcast, you can see joshpowellfoundation.org. For those who are listening, it's joshpowell, the word foundation.org. Mm-hmm. I love what you're doing. Taj, did you have something else?
No, I'm just mesmerized by all of this, because I love the positive outlook, and I can tell the journey that you had to go through to get to that point in there in that way. And it, there is, as me and TJ have found out, and Terrell as well, helping others and having that purpose of why did I have to go through this? Mm-hmm. You know, what was the lesson? And then knowing that your loss helps others, and there's a lot to that in that way. And there's a lot of rewarding things. And so it doesn't feel like it was for nothing in that way. Because as you were saying, there's a purpose for everything. And I love how you connect the dots of certain things. And in that way, because you get reminders, as I think that's the thing of, you're on the right path in that way. The little reminders daily. I get those too, you know, that I get reminded, okay, you know, mom's proud of you, or this or that, just in general, like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing.
Yes. The validation that comes in right when you think, like, why am I doing this? You know, does this even matter? Like, am I even helping people, you know? Or it's that person that reaches out and is like, because of this thing, like, I'm doing this, or you helped me with this. And you're like, oh yeah, just going to reel it in and remember why I started this thing in the first place. And to your point, it doesn't mean that it's fair, right? Like it's not fair.
Yeah.
Life is not meant to be fair. You know, we're here and we're lucky to experience the depths of all feelings, not just love and joy, but pain. Without that, we can't appreciate the love and the joy and the blessings. And we see it as a full experience and we just are able to see things for as equally good as they are bad. Mm-hmm. We have more control over how we take the next step. You know, and it frees us up from this victim mentality and feeling like the weight of the world and like, why is life happening to me? Why did this have to happen to me? And I mean, I could come up with a million instances on my IVF journey where I'm like, okay, we stole my husband and now we can't make this dang baby. Like everyone's getting pregnant except for me. Like, what the heck? Like, what else do I have to experience? But then to see on the other side of that, like the benefit to experiencing these hardships along the way. I think that's where I've really freed myself from so much pain and grief and just these chains that life sometimes places on us.
Mm-hmm. A couple more questions for me, Favi. Having been through it personally and learning to navigate your life, I like to ask people who've been through very difficult situations what advice you would give to someone who experienced something similar. So my question to you is, what advice would you give a young widow who is currently grieving and feeling like life isn't worth living or just really down? What advice would you, who's went through this and is going through this, what would you give to them?
I think two things are extremely important. One is you have to give yourself a hell of a lot of grace. This is something that I have to do on a daily basis, is look myself in the mirror every day and show myself love and grace, because it is such a hard thing to navigate any sort of loss on any capacity. So grace is the first thing. And you can't compare, you know, everyone has a different journey. Social media is beautiful in some ways and detrimental in so many other ways, where you think that everybody has their stuff together. Like, I cry on social media. Sure. Is that embarrassing? I don't really care, because it's probably helping somebody, but that's like a tiny little snippet into my life. Like, you know, most of the time I'm hair and makeup and like giving lovely advice to people, but like, we're all just trying to figure it out. We're all a mess and we're all just doing our best to navigate all these different curveballs that life is continuously throwing at us. So grace is always number one. And then number two is invest in yourself. Do the therapy, hire the life coach, do whatever you need, get the gym pass, do what you need to get control back into your life. And you can't let life just happen to you, because before you know it, years have passed and you have missed all these beautiful opportunities to experience the gift that is waking up every day. And my thing that I go back to every time is, Josh would give anything to still be here. He would give anything to have his worst day back. I would give anything to have his worst day back. I am not doing myself, Josh, or anybody any favors by staying stuck and feeling sorry for myself. And the way that I choose to get up and put one foot in front of the other is not only in honor of him, but everyone else who didn't have a choice to leave early, you know? And for me, it's just not a choice. It's not that I don't have days where I don't want to get out of bed. And there's not days where I'm like, how the hell can I go on? But but you just have to, you have to find your why, and that's going to look different than my why. But today is a gift. This air in our lungs is a gift. Opening our eyes every single morning is a gift, you know, and we think that gratitude has to be these big, extraordinary things. I mean, Josh's journal was literally like, I hope I can go to the bathroom today. I hope I can get a meal down today. And that's perspective. And when I say, like, I hope that people can gain the perspective that I've been able to gain at such a young age through all of these painful life experiences, it's that. Like, I don't want you to wait till your husband has a terminal illness or you lose your mom or you lose the ability to do something you love in your life to wake up and realize, like, time's ticking. You know, like, you got to live your dreams now. Like, we don't wait to have a bucket list when we're retired and, you know, 70. Like, that's the stuff we're supposed to be doing right now. See, the dog even agrees.
Yeah, I just commend you. And I'm hoping one day you will write a book. Okay. I'm hoping, I mean, I don't know anything about it, but I hope you would consider it, because your story is a very profound one, and it's not just your story, it's your outlook and how you went through it and how you got to where you're at. And again, I don't want to diminish some difficult moments I'm sure you go through today and, you know, still in the present time, but I really appreciate what you're saying and think it needs to be trumpeted, you know. And as Lana says, present moment, is that 100,000? Yeah, that's 100,000%. I was like, oh, how much is that? And then Carol says, you're very brave, Fabi. You will give people courage. Shamira says, I'm so sorry for your loss. Pray for you and send you a lot of love. You're so powerful and wonderful, beautiful queen. I just think there's so many comments too I can highlight. Here's another one from Sarah who says, I love how open you talk about your faith and don't shy away from it, Fabi. So there's so many wonderful comments, and you're touching so many people even today from our community. So again, just thank you for being here. There's two things. Before we let you go, there's one thing we like to do where we give our guests a minute, up to 2 minutes. Shoot, you could take 3 minutes. It doesn't matter, Fabi. You take however much time you have.
A generous.
I know, right? I don't think I've ever said that before.
No, you never said the 3 minutes.
You're giving extra minutes to the wrong person.
And we're in the hundreds of shows. I think we're almost at 300. But I want you to take your time and to share whatever it is you want to share. It could be on topic. It could be off topic. It could be something about, you know, a book you read, a poem, your favorite Netflix show, your favorite song, your favorite memory, anything you want to talk about. I want to make sure you get an opportunity to discuss it on our show.
Well, thank you so much. You guys, truly, like, this platform is so amazing. Your mom has to be so stinking proud of you guys. Mm. And I'm so blessed to have met you and been given this opportunity. So first and foremost, thank you so much. And I'm thank honored you. That you would give me the extra time.
Absolutely.
I have so many things I would like to share, but I'll keep it short and sweet. I think so often in life, we think that we have to wait until we're ready to do the things that are scary, you know, writing the book, or applying for the job that we think we're not qualified for, or asking the person out on a date that we, you know, find to be amazing or attractive or whatever it is, you know. And people sometimes will look to me and say, like, how do you live this fearless life? And I just posted a quote about this morning. That's the mistake that we make. We think that we are these people that are doing these extraordinary things in life are fearless. We're not fearless. We just choose to do everything scared, you know, step on that stage terrified. I have done many podcasts. I still get sweaty before every single one. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? Like, am I going to be embarrassing? Like, am I going to, you just do it scared. Otherwise you're never going to do anything, you know? And that's this common theme. I'm putting myself in rooms with people who inspire me, people who I feel like are smarter than me, doing more incredible things than me. And that is the common theme in every single one of those rooms of these people who are doing extraordinary things. It's, you're never going to feel ready. You're never going to have enough money. You're never going to be prepared enough. You're never going to, you know, just have this like fearlessness wash over you. You just have to do it. You just go. I met with a girlfriend before one of my charity events for coffee to share a little bit about Josh. And she was like, you know what? You know how Josh's phrase is keep going? And I'm like, yes, I have it, you know, all over everything, all over our merch. She's like, do you know what yours is? I'm like, no, I've actually never thought about it. She's like, just go. I'm like, you're onto something there. And that's just it. You have to just go. Just do the thing that scares you, because before you know it, you're going to look back on your life and you're going to regret all of those things that you didn't do. And that's my biggest fear. And I know firsthand that I'm not going to be here forever after losing my husband at 27 years old and his mom at 53. It's these constant reminders of, you might not be here when you think you're going to be ready to do that thing. So that's my advice. It's just go, live fully, love fiercely. You will never regret loving people, you know, showing people love, giving faith in humanity. That is something that we are all capable of doing. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how you grew up, where you're at in your life. We all have the ability to show love. And then if you want to learn more about this incredible work that has recently truly lifted the weight of the world off of my shoulders, not only for grief and loss, but my IVF journey, everything else. I just created a course with my coach that will be launching in the next couple of weeks. So if you guys are into like really investing in yourself and taking control of your life and being able to find love and appreciation for the most painful things you've been through and to release those chains that are holding you back, that course will probably be for you. And then we have a live event tied to that here in Nashville in May. So that's all I'll say about that. We'll be posting a lot more about that on my page coming up as we launch this, but that's it.
Well, that's well said. And what's the best way for people to be aware of the course when it's available, but also is there a way for people to get in contact with you?
Yes.
I have some banners that I'll show on live, but I want you to just say it as well for those who are listening.
So Instagram, I'm the weirdo who's up till 2 o'clock in the morning. I respond to every single DM that's sent to me, and it's me. I do it all. So that is the best place to be in contact with me. That's where I share everything. There's also a link. I have a Beacons page on my Instagram that has like just previous things that I've done, if you guys want to take a deeper dive into my story and my life. But I will also have like ticket links, course links, and all of that will be housed in that link tree on my Instagram page. So thank you. Your comments are literally like, I haven't had a chance to read all of them, but you guys are incredible and just such a source of validation and love. And thank you. So yeah, that's the best place to find me.
Well, okay. So, thank you for that too, Fabi. And sure. There's so many comments that I could highlight. And maybe if you rewatch this, you'll see, and you could just watch all the comments, but your story and like I said earlier, it's just not only just your story, but your outlook and how you're handling your situation is incredibly inspiring. As Carol simply puts, you're an inspiration, Fabi. And Adrian says, thank you for sharing, Fabi. All caps. With blue, purple hearts. one last thing I want to say, and then Taj, I'm sorry in case you wanted to say something. I know I've been hogging, but one more thing I want to highlight: your GoFundMe for your IVF, and it's Granting Daddy's Last Wish, Baby P, 2023. This is a GoFundMe page that Fabi has, where obviously the goal is to raise funds so we could try to make this wish an actual reality. GoFundMe. I you know what? I don't know much, so I guess there's no GoFundMe link. But if you go to GoFundMe and I guess you type in the title of Granting Daddy's Last Wish, Baby P 2023, is that right?
Yeah.
Then it will pull this up.
Yeah, it's on my link tree as well. So if you guys go through Instagram, you'll be able to find it that way. But yeah, I mean, again, IVF is just such a financially ridiculous journey. So I appreciate everyone who's contributed and made this journey possible.
Love it. Well, just know you have a community in us, and my brother and I and our entire foundation who are supporting you and right behind you. So just really on behalf of everyone, we want to thank you for being here, Fabi, and sharing your story in the eloquent and articulate way only you can. So Taj Jackson, is there anything else you wanted to say or share with everyone?
No, just thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. And I was just looking at comments and stuff like that, and I know our community just loved you in that way. And I will double what TJ said in terms of writing some kind of book or and an audio book as well, because I'm always advocating the audio side.
Oh, me too. That's how I listen to everything.
So do the audio book first. Then.
I love it. Noted.
But yeah, I think you just have such a powerful, not only story, but outlook in that way. And it is helpful. I always give that advice too, that when someone has lost someone, is turning that loss into kind of, we'll use the word legacy, but you're honoring that person by turning that grief into something that now can help others in that way. And I just love your story. I really do. And I'll be looking for some kind of book or something in the future.
Yes. Stay tuned. It will come. And just to reiterate, I think when people hear inspiring stories, it's really beautiful, but I also think that we forget that we all have one.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, know that your life is just as inspiring. It's just, I choose to share it publicly. You don't have to share it on a big platform, but know that your life and your story matters, and you are so not alone in whatever it is that you're facing. And if you should choose to share it, I promise you will feel less alone in your struggles. So I just like to add that, because I find myself thinking like, oh, you're so inspiring, this person's so amazing. And in some way it makes you feel like less significant, or you're like, well, mine's not that cool, you know, or like, it's not as powerful. We all have a story. We've all been through hell and back. And I think it's just, you know, identifying the purpose in it all.
Wonderful.
Well said, Fabi. Ladies and gentlemen, Fabi Powell, thank you so much, Fabi, for joining us. Like I said, on behalf of my brother and our entire foundation and our community, you made a difference today, and we appreciate you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, please make sure to go follow Fabi to learn about her course, to know about how you can contribute to the Josh Powell Foundation, as well as how you can contribute to her IVF journey. We will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Everyone, please be safe. Enjoy your loved ones, and God bless you all. Adios, everyone.
God bless you guys.
Bye.
Bye.